But it tells us that we have confidence to enter the most holy place. And that's really what our starting point is today. Now, the Holy Spirit gave us these words for our help and comfort. And we've had 7 Sundays looking at these words. And, you know, are we changed by that? Have these words and what they mean changed us? So, this morning when you leave the church and you go out the door, where can you go? You might think, well, pretty much anywhere really, if you want to. I mean, you can go down the village, a bit more ambition, you could go off to, you know, Alicante on your holidays, or you could enroll in a space program, go to the International Space Station maybe. A lot of places you can go to in this world. But if you were an Israelite living before the time of Jesus, there was one place you definitely couldn't go, even though it was right in the middle of your society. And that one place was the most holy place that's there in the verse at the top. You couldn't go to the most holy place. Because no one could go into the most holy place upon pain of death, except the high priest once in a year. That was one place you couldn't go. But it was strange because that was the place where the living God dwelled in his glory in the middle of the camp and of the country of Israel. But you couldn't go there. You couldn't go to the presence of God. But what we're told here as a result of what Jesus has done is that we can go there as well. But you and I today can go into the presence of God, and we can be in the presence of God, and we can live in the presence of God. It's as though in Old Testament terms we were to walk up to the temple and we were to walk past the great basin for washing and the bronze altar. And all the priests are saying, whoa, you can't go there, says, step aside, I have Jesus. And you're able to enter into the holy place first of all. And in the holy place, there's the table with the bread of the presence. And the lampstand with the 7 golden lamps. And in front of you, the altar of incense. And the priests are saying, you can't be in here. You can't be in here. This is where God's presence is. Step aside, priests, I have Jesus. And then before you, there's this great curtain. And behind that curtain, God shows himself to the great high priest once a year. And you just pull aside the curtain, and you go right in, and there in front of you is the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of it, the atonement cover, and the cherubim on the top with their wings touching. And the glory of the living God appearing over it. And all the priests are screaming to you, you're going to die. You can't be in there. You know, when the high priest used to go in, they would tie a rope to his leg and have the rope come out into the holy place so that in case he would die, it was a lack of faith really, wasn't it? But in case he would die, they couldn't go in, so they would just pull him out. But I'm in there now with Jesus. I'm in the holy place of the presence of Almighty God. And all the Old Testament priests can scream as much as they like because I have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And I have a great priest over the house of God. And this is what we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope even just what I'm saying there tells you, this should make a difference to your life. Just like it should make a difference to my life. In other words, I have no excuse. You have no excuse. No one in this world has any excuse if they don't live in God's presence. If you don't live in the presence of God, you have no excuse for that. because we have the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus given for us as a sacrifice for our sins, and a great priest who is in the presence of Almighty God in heaven on our behalf. So what difference should it make? Let's just think about four things quickly this morning. Whoops, Daisy. So we're going to think about Jesus' service and his love. We're going to think about our service, probably spend most time on that, and our love, and we'll run that over into next week as well. These are the things we're going to think about. So let's go back to the passage. Let's think about Jesus' service. And what we're saying here is that we can go where the priests can go. The priests or the priest can go, the high priest, into the presence of God, into the most holy place. The actual words there are in plural. We have confidence to enter the holy places, it says, the holy places. And so anywhere where God is, we can be. That's what it's saying. And of course the temple's gone, the priesthood's gone, all the Old Testament sacrifices, they haven't been offered for nearly 2,000 years. It's all gone. But God is here. And we can live in his presence. And we can know his presence not as something that might be just by chance in church on Sunday, or perhaps we'll meet him at the top of a mountain or something. But we can have his presence in the very innermost being of our lives. Everywhere we are, because of the service of Jesus. See it there? It's his blood. It's his body. And he is the great priest. It's all because of him that we can have these things. He came from God's presence to this world so that he could do what was needed to bring you and me from this world into God's presence. Now, that's all we need to say about that, because we've been looking at that a lot. But let's think about the love of Jesus. Because as I've been thinking about these things, I'm thinking, well, if this is what God's Son did, that he came to this world and that he did the things we read in the Gospels and suffered the way we read in the Gospels and gave his life on the cross the way we read in the Gospels, has it struck us how great the love of Jesus really is for us? That he would do that for us. You know, is that something you can see? There's no love like this anywhere else to be found in the world. And here's a couple of verses just to speak about this. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And Paul writes in the individual sense, the Son of God, he loved me and gave himself for me. These are great big verses speaking about a great big love. In other words, Jesus came into this world. He wasn't just doing a day job. He didn't come into this world just to kind of pass a bit of time and do some sightseeing. It wasn't easy. It wasn't his choice. And we see the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus is really, really struggling with what his love for us calls on him to do. But he doesn't. He's serving us in love. And it's really great for us to see this. And I think Christians do struggle to see the love of Jesus often in their lives, the love of God, because we get bogged down in the minute detail of our daily lives. We get bogged down in the past and what happened to us in the past and what was done to us in the past. And we get bogged down in disputes we have with people. We get bogged down in hurts. We get bogged down sometimes in self-pity. And we get bogged down in the worries and cares of our present lives. And we just can't see the greatness of the love of God in Christ for us. And then what happens is, we're trying to be Christians, but it's not easy. It's not easy being a Christian if you're trying to be a Christian without a sense of the love of Christ in your life. Because what happens is, it becomes duty, an only duty. Duty's good, but if it's only duty, then it can be done in the wrong spirit, and it can be done for the wrong reasons. And trying to be a dutiful Christian is a burdensome thing. I mean, if you are just trying to be a Christian, say, well, I've got to do this for Jesus, I've got to do this for Jesus. And maybe if I do this for Jesus, maybe if I really do this well, maybe I'll get a little bit of a blessing from him. I'll get a bit of help. You know, that's us trying to be our own priests, trying to deal with our own sins, trying to make things right with Jesus ourselves, and not accounting for the greatness of his love for us, that he gave his life, his all, for us. He loves us. And we can rely upon that love. We don't need to win it. We don't need to win over God's heart. That love is there. And it should be the very foundation and bedrock of your life and mine. The love of Christ. The service of Christ was done out of the love of Christ. The great priest gave his own body and blood as a sacrifice for our sins. That was his service, and he did it because he loves you. And now, as we just sang in the hymn, what do we do? That love, that amazing love, it demands my soul, my life, my all. We offer, this is the third point, we offer our service. We've been served in love, now we need to offer our service. And so we need to come into the most holy place for a reason. As it says at the beginning, we can do it, we can be in God's presence, but we're not in God's presence to sit in a jacuzzi. We're not in God's presence to sunbathe. We're not in God's... I mean, nothing wrong with being in a jacuzzi or sunbathing. But we're not there just to lap it up lazily. We're in God's presence so that in response to his love for us, we also can show our love to him in service. Now, who got to go into the most holy place? It was a priest. Does that mean that because Jesus brings us into the most holy place, we also are priests? Now, there's a big question. Are we priests? Anyone want to venture an answer? Are we priests? Yes? Good to have you with us visiting. Our visitors say yes. Now, we've got to show good hospitality and agree with them, okay? Do we agree with them? Yeah, well. Now, remember at the very beginning of this series, we're talking about priests. And I said, look, in the New Testament, it never, ever says that church leaders are priests. Never. Church leaders are never set apart as and called priests. They're called lots of other things. They may be called elders, they may be called pastors, shepherds, teachers, whatever. But they're never called priests. They're not priests in the sense that Jesus is a priest, giving his life or giving a sacrifice and bringing that sacrifice to God's presence to pay for sin. That's not my job. It's not the job of the Pope or the Archbishop of Canterbury or the head of the Greek Orthodox Church, whom we had on the screen a few weeks ago. It's not the job of any church leader anywhere. None of us is a priest. Not any of us. We're not priests in that sense of people presenting sacrifices for sin. We're just not. And any church that tries to present its leaders in that way has got absolutely no basis in the Bible for doing so. We're just not that. And the reason why they have no basis is because Jesus has done the priesthood work for our sins. There's no need for any more. So if we look, for example, at this verse in Hebrews 10, just a little earlier on, when this priest Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down because he'd done the job. He'd done the work in his love and service for us. He'd offered for all time one sacrifice. It's done. I mean, it's been spelled out there for you and me. It's like, you know, we are not going to need to ask ourselves or anyone else to do anything about paying for our sins because Jesus has done it. This is where so many people go wrong, so many people just don't enjoy the life of being a Christian because we feel we've got to do our bit to make it up with God. We've got to fix our relationship with God ourselves, and it's Jesus who does that. No Christian, no church leader anywhere can fix your relationship with God. You can't do it for yourself because Jesus has already done it. And we receive that fix as a gift for ourselves, full and free. He sat down. And no one else needs to do anything to add to what he's done. Okay, so we're not priests to offer sacrifices for sin. But are we priests? So we go back to the first passage we read in Exodus. This is God speaking to Israel. Now Israel has priests who offer sacrifices for sin. And they all belong to one tribe, Levi. And the high priestly family, one family within that tribe, the family of Aaron. But the rest of the nation is a kingdom of priests, God says to them. Although the whole earth is mine, you, Israel, will be for me a kingdom of priests. Every single one of you in Israel, you're priests. Not like the priests in the temple or in the tabernacle offering sacrifices for sin, but you're still priests. You're still going to serve me. And that's really quite staggering because you would imagine that would be a word God wouldn't want to use of his people generally, because he had a special group called the priests. But yeah, they did a special kind of priestly work in offering for sin. And it was just, remember, a postcard from Calvary. Remember I spoke about that? Wasn't actually doing anything, it was just showing what was to come in Jesus. Just a picture. But the whole nation were priests. Now it's not just an Old Testament thing, because we read in 1 Peter. Peter now says to the church, he says, you come to Jesus, the living stone, you're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So yes, we are a priesthood. We're priests, men and women, children, any who have had Jesus pay for their sins and have received him as their Savior. We're priests. He's made us priests. Just like in the Old Testament, in the church, every Christian is a priest. And we're to offer spiritual sacrifices. I'll say a bit more about that, and especially next week. We're to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, what makes the sacrifices acceptable? In other words, if they're not acceptable, if we do something for God, it's just not really good enough. You know, if I stand up here, for example, this morning, and I preach, and there's a little bit of me that's saying, you know, I want a bit of glory from these people. Because preachers always struggle with that temptation, among many others. So my spiritual service to Jesus is not acceptable this morning. It's not acceptable. Who makes it acceptable? Jesus Christ. Who makes you acceptable when you serve God? You're not acceptable in yourself. Your service to God is not perfect. It's not done with pure motives. It's not done in the best way. It's not done without sin. Who makes you acceptable? Jesus. It's his priesthood. It's his sacrifice. Remember that always as you serve God. It's a liberating thing. I'm not standing up here saying I'm perfect. Sometimes in conversations with people, I know what they're doing. Sometimes they find a bit about me and they're trying to say they're better than me. Well, I'm happy to let them be better than me. What they're thinking is, if I'm better than the minister, I'm alright. I'm alright with God. People do that with me. You play that game sometimes. But I'm not saying anything. What makes me acceptable in any spiritual service and you is Jesus. And even people may well be better than me if you just measure on a human scale. But if they haven't got Jesus, they're not acceptable, wherever they are. We need Jesus. You need Jesus today. And I need Jesus. But with Jesus, I can serve. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be great sometimes. But it's priestly service. It's service to God. It's service between God and people. Trying to represent God to people. Trying to represent people to God. It's service. It's priestly service. But it's acceptable through Jesus. Remember this verse? 2 years ago we spent a few weeks looking at this little bit in Revelation. And I'm going to come back to it next week a bit. It says, Jesus has made us to be a kingdom and priests. It's quoting Exodus 19 again. To serve his God and Father. So Jesus has done it. He's made us to serve. And this is our position and our privilege. We serve in a priestly way. We serve the world in God's name. And we serve God on behalf of the world. We serve. So it's not that all of this makes us enter the most holy place and bask in God's presence and just take it easy and not care about anything else. Jesus didn't do that. And we can't either. We are called to serve. Another verse from Hebrews 9:14. Just to say the same thing. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. So it's Jesus' work. He's done the work. His blood, his sacrifice, takes away our sins. As we confess them, our consciences are clean. We're confident towards God. We can live in God's presence so that we may serve the living God. So we have work to do. I'll say more about what that is next week as we just bring it to a close in the following verses. If you want to look at them, verses 23 to 25 before next week. That's what we're going to be looking at. But finally, we serve in love. Service is a love response to God's love for us in Jesus. And our love to God is shown in our priestly service. So, in view of God's mercy to us, God's mercy, God's love to us, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual service, your act of worship. Offering our bodies as an act of love. An act of love in view of God's love for us. So, actively do that. I say, go and pray and say, Lord, first of all, thank you for what you've done for me. I confess my sins to you. I ask you to take them away. Give me a good conscience. Help me to come and know and enjoy the presence of God by your Holy Spirit in me. And I offer my body to you, Lord. I offer myself to you. One of the very, very first bits of Christian literature I ever read had a very memorable quote in it. It was given to me by the boy whose testimony brought me to Jesus. And a couple of days later, he gave me a little book, and it was about this verse, or part of it was, and it said, one of the problems with living sacrifices is they have a tendency to crawl off the altar. Well, this is a danger with us. We don't really want to be on the altar. We don't really want to be giving ourselves to God. We want to give ourselves to ourselves. We want to serve ourselves. We want to please ourselves. So we need to actively keep doing this. We need to keep offering to God ourselves in response to his love for us. Hebrews again is full of this, and it's great. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer, as priestly language again, offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. This is our loving service to God. This is what we're called to. And we need to just keep offering, offering, offering in response to his love and his sacrifice for us. And there we leave it today. Don't crawl off the altar. Look at the love of Christ for you. Look at what Jesus has done for you in his service. And respond. Don't put it off. You're going to say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I'm older. I mean, we just don't have these kind of luxuries to think about. And next week we'll make that very clear in the passage we'll be looking at. We must do it now. Jesus is offering himself to you and me now. So here I am. I'm all that you need to keep you in the presence of God forever. And I've done all this for you in love. I've served you completely. Now, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Well, serve. Serve me in love as I've served you. That's our calling. That's what Jesus is calling you and me to do today. Amen. Just pray for a moment together. We bow our lives before you, Lord. We are very aware, Lord, in every part of our service, it's not acceptable. We need Jesus to make it acceptable. We have Jesus to make it acceptable. He's loved us and given himself for us. So, Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. We want to do good and to share. We want, Lord, in our lives to serve you. And we want to serve you in love, not to pay for our sins, not to try and win ourselves into God's presence, but because Jesus has paid for our sins. And Jesus keeps us in your presence. Because we're already there in the most holy place. We're with you where we can serve you. So, Father, help us to live lives of love. Help us to serve you and to serve one another in Jesus' name. And Lord, let us know the joy of your presence always for Jesus' sake. Amen.